Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Our Bowl podcast will be up tonight with Rachel Robinson and Ed Charles.
At The Podcast Park, like and subscribe, all brought to you by Associated Credit Union.
I know Doug Glanville is joining us now. I just want context. Jackie Robinson apologized for taking up so much of your time. His Hall of Fame induction speech was 2 minutes and 43 seconds. I'm going to tell you this. Blowhard Joe goes 2 for 4 on a Tuesday night in June. He talks for more than 3 minutes. Arguably the most important man in baseball history went 2:43 and apologized for taking up that much time.
Doug Glanville is going to be a part of the coverage on ESPN on Thursday and on Sunday night when the Cubs do host the Atlanta Braves. Doug Glanville from ESPN joining us now on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Doug, always a pleasure to have you on the program. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and I'm fortunate to be able to take more than 2 minutes and 43 seconds of your time, so thanks for that.
Can you imagine?
You have that going for you.
Can you imagine, arguably the most important man to actually give a speech at the Hall of Fame, went 2:43, and he apologized at the end of it?
Yeah, I mean, it just, it speaks to Jackie Robinson. It wasn't about him. He always wanted to look to our greater angels and, you know, for humanity. And all his messages, all his efforts were for equality and for everyone. And so that was kind of reflective of how he's like, look, I have work to do. I appreciate the awards. There's so many other things that I'm trying to address in our society. And he knew baseball was the conduit and certainly the sort of big jump for social change. But he continued to do excellent work off the field and goes down as one of the great players of our game.
Doug Glanville with us from ESPN on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. For a while, it didn't seem like professional athletes knew their history. It seems like over the last year especially, that has changed. Is that fair to say?
Well, certainly, you know, when it comes to identity, we're in the midst of a reckoning, no question. And, you know, being in the health crisis with the pandemic and the reflection that took place when there was no sport effectively has definitely created a reset on a lot of levels. So I think it's fair to say that, yeah, we're looking inward. We're looking at where we're trying to go as a country, as a future, and where sports kind of fit in this equation. And Jackie Robinson embodies that there is an intersection, a very significant one, between sport and society, and that you can make significant change and raise significant conversations.
Doug, one of the things that's really amazing, you can look it up, and there's a list somewhere, I'm sure, on the Internet. When you talk about off-season jobs, Jackie Robinson sold electronics. Yogi Berra and Phil Rizzuto sold suits. I'm not saying times weren't different and players shouldn't, but there has to be an appreciation, I guess, is what was really going on at the time, not only socially, but certainly in neighborhoods and what baseball teams meant to live in the neighborhood and actually have jobs like this.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of our hitting coaches in Philadelphia is Richie Hebner, and he dug graves in the offseason during his career. And so there is something to be said when you are not only, you know, working at another craft and knowing the finite nature of the game, but also, as you mentioned, you go back to those communities and you build a life and you're involved. So there is no offseason when it comes to engaging the surrounding community, the fans, and just being sort of representative of the teams. So it's tricky because as a player myself, former player, I know that free agency was a big part of the economic boom for players and getting sort of, increased pay. But it also created a sort of separation from the players and their communities because you don't stay. You know, you rarely stay. I played for 3 different organizations. I was traded twice. And, you know, left in free agency. So that was a different time. And Jackie Robinson, you know, sort of built a life around being a Brooklyn Dodger. So when he was traded at the very end of his career, which is not a often spoke about thing, he was like, nah, I'm done. I'm retiring because I see myself as a Brooklyn Dodger.
Times have certainly changed. Doug Glanville with us, one of only 5 Penn alumni to play in the major leagues. We know another quite well, Mark DeRosa. I'm not sure we ever asked Mark this question. We'll ask you, Doug. Did it sometimes work against you having an Ivy League education, as in, I don't know if he really loves playing baseball. He's a smarty pants.
It was definitely part of the criticism when I was getting scouted to be drafted. There was a lot of concern about, well, you know, are you going to just kind of retire in midstream and not go to the mat for this sport? And so I felt like I had to prove myself that I was willing to outwork and keep going and play for the love of the game. So it took a minute to get past that. But in the end, it turned out to be something that was seen as a positive, you know, for especially with the fans. I always talked about education and for the, you know, the young fans in particular, just going and making sure you have your studies, because even with baseball, you're going to be retired at, you know, 32, 33, 34. You're going to be young if you're fortunate to play a while. And there's this whole another world after that, that you're going to look to figure out what your passion, your new passion will be. So, and certainly Jackie Robinson exemplified that, right? He opened a bank. He worked for Chock Full of Nuts. He became a columnist. I mean, so, you know, that's it's important to think about the big picture, and being well-rounded is very important.
Yeah. My dad was a big Brooklyn Dodger fan. One of his greatest thrills was he actually saw Jackie Robinson on the streets of New York. He was going to work. He had a meeting for Chock Full of Nuts, the coffee company. So that's the difference. Is you know what's in, I'm going to ask a Penn guy this, and boy, is this dumb to ask a Penn guy this? Are there too many Ivy Leaguers in the game now? When we look at actually all the cubicles and all the offices and all the bean counters and all the people who are doing all the analytical work, it is an unbelievable how many Ivy League guys are in and around the game right now.
Well, actually, that's a great question, because you know, we fortunately have a podcast with Jason Stark called Starkville. And we brought in Theo Epstein for our first episode this year, and we spoke a lot about that. And there is a concern just about the direction of and role of analytics. It's always been part of the game, but the way it's working in real time, and we're dealing with the three outcomes, so little action in terms of balls in play, the strikeouts levels, home run focus, and you're missing a whole lot of elements of the game that we found exciting as fans, triples and stolen bases, and just the fact that, you know, you're challenging people to make plays instead of striking out and walking back to the dugout. So there's a lot of questions about what this analytics kind of revolution has done. And as you mentioned, many of the brain trusts come from, you know, these sort of, you know, elite schools, or however you want to phrase it. And the connection between the numbers game and the sort of soul of the game is sometimes at odds, and certainly a big debate now in the game. And it's like true for other sports too, basketball obsession with a three-pointer and all that. So you know that this is generally a cultural phenomenon too, but a lot of us are now looking to figure out, like, well, can, you know, is there something to get back to, because we're struggling a little bit with the action in baseball.
Yeah, we saw a guy under Inciarte having a hard time laying down a bunt last night, which leads us into the fascinating makeup of the Braves. You've got a veteran old-school staff, and you have analytics people in the front office. I think that marriage, you don't see it a lot, but that is something that I think you need. Doug Glanville with us, and you said it, not only in baseball, but in basketball, even in football as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Braves, you know, first of all, I'm always wondering why they have so many lefties in their pitching. So that's always interesting. But, you know, it's early struggles when you think about the offense. You know, Freeman's not going to hit like 140 or whatever he's hitting right now. So, you know, Acuña Jr. has been just showing why he's one of the great superstar talents of the future and the generation. But so there's, you know, they're still obviously in the mix with 10 games in. But a lot of pitchers are not getting to their highest potential yet, and it's early. I mean, there's no decisions other than Charlie Morton. They have no decisions in the starting rotation. Everyone's decisions are all in the bullpen. So that's kind of how it's played. And so speaking to your analytics, that is part of it, right? The starters don't really go deep in ball games, especially now we're coming off of a shortened season where there's a lot of uncertainty about, all right, how far can these guys go? Can we really stretch them early on? So there's a lot of weight put on the bullpen, and especially the bridges in the middle of the game that take the short start into the close. And the Braves are kind of exemplifying that right now.
Well, I know what the expression is. I don't know the definition of indecency, but I know it when I see it. What Kevin Cash did last year with Blake Snell is baseball indecency to me. That's... I don't care. It seems to me he made a decision at 2:30 in the afternoon, or somebody did, that he was going to come out of that game. And those are the moments when I sit back and I go, you know, eyeballs and heartbeats. You better be taking this stuff into consideration a little bit more.
You know what? I 100% agree. I think, you know, what you're facing now is it's analytics. The data is so predictive. So you're looking at a situation, you're running the numbers and saying, okay, this has a high percentage of it going wrong. So before we even challenge anybody, we're just getting out. You become so risk averse to going into anything where the data says, you know, you're worse than a coin flip, right? So that's what you have. And nothing was clearer than the reaction of the Dodgers in the postgame about why that's problematic. Because Mookie Betts, they're like, thank goodness. Like, the best move made was getting him out of the game for the Dodgers. And I think that's what you start to run into with the analytics. One quick example is, if you know, I'll give you rough numbers, but stealing third. Let's say you're stealing third with one out. And if you make it, you're increasing your team's chance to score a run by 20%. But if you get caught, you're decreasing your team's chance of scoring a run by 40%. So given that 20 and 40, if you take it in a vacuum, you go, well, why would I ever steal a base? Because the risk is not worth the reward. And what happens is the game just starts eliminating plays because there's too much risk. So you don't have, you know, hit and runs. You don't, you know, steal bases. You just start to eliminate things because of numbers. And what you forget or lose is that some of the inspiration of baseball or sports is the minority report. It is the low percentage play. It's not that you're running into something recklessly, but when something happens that's so rare, like a perfect game or a no, that's what gets you out of your chair. That's what you're looking for. And so that's where the disconnect is to me in what's happening with now crunching the numbers and making decisions predictively before anything happens, and just sort of letting players and figuring out a way to kind of challenge that so we find that inspiration again.
Everybody knows the numbers, unfortunately, with the amount of 10 Hall of Famers in about a year's time passed away, but there were so many other guys who had the cup of coffee all the way up to the 10 and 15-year careers that were not Hall of Famers that have passed. I want to ask you a big general question. Do you find yourself wanting, or are you a fan of audio history, and do you want to actually track down some people, whether it's baseball or outside, to get some of this stuff documented? I know when you do a podcast, you have an opportunity, and you guys certainly have big enough names, but are you conscious of that, of getting some of this stuff recorded? Because once it goes away, it goes away. I'm so disappointed that there's not as much audio as I would like to hear from even people like Jackie Robinson and others. When it's gone, it's gone. And is that something you think about now, that you have sort of an ability to pick up a phone and get somebody on?
Well, I do. Excuse me, I do, and I spend a good amount of time with a good friend, Jason Stark, on our podcast every week because of the stories. And baseball is, you know, the greatest sport for storytelling. And when you have when you have these storytellers that are able to capture the moment and frame history, you know, it's like watching a great announcer, Vin Scully. You know, you want to retain that because they're in a way historic documents of what's happened, what is relevant to that time, and how we understand context, especially when you talk about generations before we had all this stuff, right? Social media. I mean, Jackie Robinson in 1947, hearing those stories and bringing it to life and hearing his voice, you know, you just gain a different appreciation. And now, you know, the new day of social media and the speed of information makes it impatient to a large degree for the longer form things. It's got to be likable and tweetable and turned around very quickly. And you start to lose a little bit of the depth of it, which is something that you celebrate in baseball, right? The slow work, the patience, the anticipation, the crescendo. So that is important to kind of capture that. And baseball shouldn't apologize for that. You know, that's the game. That's what I think a lot of us love about it. And you're hoping that it still finds a way to to be relevant in a way that captures the excitement, which is why they are looking at ways to get the game exciting but still retain that storytelling component.
So I know you're going to be a part of the coverage on Sunday night, the Braves and the Cubs, Jackie Robinson Day on Thursday. Talk about what you have lined up on ESPN on Thursday.
Well, I'm excited. And actually tonight, Tuesday, we're going to kick it off, though, with the Reds-Giants game I'm on and the Phillies-Mets at 7. And what's a lot of guests are just definitely engaging a lot of people to bring in to tell these stories who have historic contacts, writers. One thing I think is going to be thematic of tonight is we're looking at Jackie Robinson in modernity, to your point, bringing him forward to today and seeing, first of all, his work on the field and how we kind of need to go back. This guy had like over 60 WAR, and I know WAR isn't the perfect stat, but he was one of the most dominant players of any era. I mean, and he did it at a later point in his career. He came in at 28 years old. I mean, you know, my hamstrings were already blown out by then. So, I mean, this guy was, you know, a dominant force at that time. So we want to kind of talk about his game and talk about how we're still all connected to him through the generations of players, and just bringing him forward to today as we grapple with a lot of things in our country and some of the things that he fought for. So that's really my goal, to say, all right, let's remember Jackie in a very current sense and why he's still connected to all of us.
Very much looking forward to the coverage, as you said, Doug, starting tonight, and looking forward to Thursday and you calling the Cubs and the Braves this upcoming Sunday. Appreciate the time. Let's do it again real soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it. Doug Glanville from ESPN with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.